Well, just having a look back over this past week, the data out of the US is still quite a mix, and things such as home sales. We had new home sales came out. They were down 8.7% after being up 8% the month before. We had some consumer sentiment, consumer confidence indicators. They're both back a bit. In September, consumer confidence down to 103 from 108.7. And the September Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, the final reading of that, came in at 68.1 from 69.5. But some of this could be related to the threats that are running through Congress. And of course, over the course of the weekend, we've had a late-minute resolution. Well, it's only a 45-day resolution where we've got extended spending to reduce that crisis that the U.S. government was shut down at the beginning of October. But the other factors which are still running towards keeping interest rates high in the U.S., we've still got this tightness running through the labor market there. And just be watching the initial jobless claims, they've come right down again. So the most recent week, was expected to be 215,000. It was 204,000. It was up a little bit from 202,000 the week before. But you go back a couple of months ago, we were running 260,000 here. If anything, the labor market's tightening up further. And obviously it helps to support some of the more extreme claims which are going through in the US at the moment. The auto workers out there with a claim for 36% spread over middle of the next few years, but a very, very large claim. These present a lot of pressure for the Fed. And the other problem, of course, is the continuation of high oil prices. And it's the supply side which is under such extreme constraint there at the moment. So we have both Russia and Saudi Arabia, for different purposes, wanting to keep that supply very, very constrained. In the case of Saudi Arabia, they recognise that oil is a running out commodity. They've got to make the most of it whilst they can, so they're going to get the highest price they can for what there is there. And in the case of Russia, it's the continuing grind in the Ukrainian war to punish everybody who needs oil from them. So that's not going away. And so normally central banks can look at these factors as being temporary. But the higher gasoline prices feeding into higher inflation are just becoming riskier all the time. And so that's what's keeping bond yields pretty high and now running up to levels which admit that central banks are going to keep their high cash rates, at least at where they are now, for quite a considerable period. Now, moving into this week in the US, and it is about the labour market. So we get the non-farm payrolls come out at the end of this week, and still looking relatively firm. So the non-farm payrolls are expected to rise another 150,000. They rose 187,000 going back to the month of August. Also, average hourly earnings are expected to be reasonably firm. Last month they rose by 0.2%, and that gave us an annual rate of 4.3%. This month up at least 0.3%, so it's going to keep that annual rate top side of 4%. And top side of 4% is just uncomfortably high as far as the Fed's concerned. Also, there's a risk that the unemployment rate might tick down rather than going up. So there's a risk that might come down a notch to 3.7%, 3.8%. So there's a pressure point there that's just sitting there on Friday with that data coming out. There's also a couple of other pressure points too. We've got the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index coming out for the US for the month of September. That comes out later today. And the interesting part about that one is that it's been holding in the high 40s. Now, if we were to get any real sign of softness ahead in the US economy, the manufacturing PMI is often the canary in the coal mine. It has to get down and stay down in low 40s. It's just not getting there. And the market thinks that that'll be around about 47.8. Now, yeah, that's contractionary territory, but it's not recessionary territory. And so if you can't get it in that one, you're still looking a long way ahead before you see the pullback in economic activity, which would really take pressure out of inflation. And the other one, of course, is the non-manufacturing PMI, the services sector PMI. Its services prices, which are still pretty elevated, yeah, they faded a little bit in the CPI, but they're still way too high to give any chance of the Fed getting back to 2% inflation target in the foreseeable future. And the non-manufacturing PMI, that will looks as if it's going to hold up around about 54. It had a jump last month to 54.5. Before that, it was running in the low 50s. So if anything, it's got stronger. And we'll also hear from Jerome Powell. He'll be giving various talks through the course of the week. And yeah, I can't imagine that the message is going to be anything other than, we've got the Fed funds rate at 5.5%. We still got a fight ahead of us trying to get inflation down. We can't in any way declare victory yet. And so expect high interest rates to persist for longer. It's a message which has been given out increasingly loudly by other central bankers as well, and which it appears the bond market is now taking to heart in the way in which it's moved bond yields over the last couple of months. Moving out to China, we had some data which came out late last week, which suggests there's a little bit of stabilisation running through the Chinese economy. We had the manufacturing PMI came out, and also the non-manufacturing PMI, the official readings of those. The manufacturing PMI came in at 50.2, up from 49.7, and the non-manufacturing PMI at 51.7 from 51. Out of China this week, it's holidays all week. These are national holidays for their national day. It's actually a national week of holidays. And this is often when we'll get a test of whether spending is picking up in China. But it's just looking briefly just a little bit better out of China over the course of the over the course of the recent data reads. Moving to Australia, and last week we had the August CPI came out, and there was a bounce. We expected it because we've had high petrol prices. The underlying readings came back a little bit, but not much. But the headline CPI jumped to 5.2%. Bit more than expected to cut to 5.1 from 4.8%. And this is a bit US-ish in the way in which inflation's now come down over recent months, but is now starting to show some signs of, if anything, bouncing up temporarily in the near term. And the issue which will be facing the new Reserve Bank governor and the interest rate setting board when they meet tomorrow is can we just disregard this and look through it because it's mostly just to do with petrol prices? Mostly in the past, you would have been able to do that, but the factors which are likely to hold petrol prices higher for longer and then feed those through into further inflationary pressure seem more protracted this time than they have in the past. Just those supply-side pressures, the two big oil producers there have a huge reasons to keep oil prices as high as they possibly can for as long as they possibly can. The supply side constraints just not going away in the near term. So these prices could stay in place for quite some time. The other factors, which obviously the RBA will be looking at tomorrow, has demand come back enough here in Australia to help to keep inflation moving downwards over time, underlying inflation moving downwards? Well, again, you've got some strange indications there. We had the preliminary retail sales reading came out last week, and if anything, that's helpful. It was up only 0.2% after a 0.5% rise the month before, but it's still up. There's still some some pressure there. We still got these pressure points running through housing, particularly house prices. And just with the CoreLogic reading of house prices today at 4.8% month on month, and with national house prices now back up at a record high, house prices have risen now for 8 consecutive months nationally. Sure, we know that there's constraints on the supply side which are driving this, but if demand were that weak, even with those supply side constraints, house prices should not be doing that. And so that's another one of those pressure points for the RBA. At the very least, it implies that there's no chance of the RBA bringing down the 4.1% cash rate. Going back a month or two back, several of the banks were looking at the first cuts in interest rates coming through early next year. I think that one's very quickly disappeared, and people are now recognising that 4.1% is going to be the minimum we're going to have for the cash rate for quite some time to come, and that each decision, we're still going to be on this knife edge about whether they have to tighten again or hold rates where they are. I lean just on the side of holding again for this meeting, so I think 4.1%, I'll try and hold it for this meeting, but the pressure points are still there. We do have some other data coming out this week, and that'll be interesting. We've got August home building approvals and August home loans. Home building approvals and home loans going back to the month of July fell. This is one of the conundrums inside the housing market. The price pressure's there, which suggests it's still a robust housing market, but the home building part of it is pretty much shot. And we had a fall of 8.1% in home building approvals going back to July. There'll probably be a bit of a dead cat bounce on that, maybe up about 3.3% for the month, but it's exactly that. Home building approvals in absolute terms are running around the 10,000 a month mark, which is very, very low by historical comparison. And August home loans, they have been coming down over the last few months, particularly on the investor part of it. They were down 2.3% month on month going back to July. In August, probably down again around 2%. And that's the conundrum, how these prices still continue to go up, even though we've got the value of home loans coming back. So again, it's pretty messy trying to read through exactly what's happening there. We may get a little bit of assistance later in the week. On Friday, the Reserve Bank brings out its half-yearly financial stability review. This will be interesting in the sense that it will show, give quite a bit of detail about what's happening in loans and the stress which is building in loans. So we'll get the RBA's read on that. But my guess is that they'll still be saying that banks are in a very strong position, but non-performing loans, as we all know, have been starting to show some signs of increasing, but not that much yet. That'll probably be the tenor of that report when it comes out. We also had out of Europe last week, we had their September Business and Consumer Confidence Survey came out. It's holding pretty steady there. It was 93.3. It was 93.6 going back the month before. So again, demand's just holding up a little bit there. There was some better news on their CPI. So their preliminary September CPI came down. It came down to 4.3% from 5.2% the month before. And the core CPI came down to 4.5 from 5.3. Still high, though, as far as the European Central Bank's concerned, but perhaps gives them a little more leeway just to hold rates on hold for the foreseeable future. And just this week out of Europe, they've got the September manufacturing PMI coming out later today. They've also got their August unemployment rate. The manufacturing PMI, now this is where Europe's a bit different from the US. This one is in the low 40s, So it was at 43.5 going back to the month of August. It was 43.4, we think 43.4 for the most recent month. So yeah, that one is pointing towards recession ahead. But it's not there in the labour market yet. And so the August unemployment rate, you know, it was down at 6.4% in July, the unemployment rate. It's about as low as it gets in Europe. You know, it's sort of a 25-year low point there. And we think it's still at 6.4%. And you know, also the wage claims in Europe are very, very high. On average, wage claims in Germany are running over 5%. So you know, that's the pressure point that's still there. You've got the economy slowing, but you've still got this resistance and residual strength running through labour markets. We get the services sector PMI comes out later in the week as well. This one, if anything, may have improved a little bit in September, probably to 48.4 from 47.9. So you know, it's not far below 50 on that one, so not quite the same level of contraction. But you know, the story running through most of these things may be for risk assets. You know, the last-minute deal that was done in the US over the weekend to keep the government open for another 45 days, you might get a little bit of a bounce in risk assets off the back of that. But the real pressure point for risk assets and everything is that we're starting to build in the type of high interest rate structures which are going to be with us for a long time to come. And you can see it in how much further longer-term interest rates in the U.S. have pushed above 4%. 30-year Treasury yield is now up at 4.7%. And you know, the same applies here too. Normally when you get to a point where you expect that interest rates are sort of peaking and that you're heading towards somewhat weaker economic activity, you expect pretty decent rallies to run through bonds. We're still a fair way before we can start to expect that. I think we're still trying to reach where we think the interest rate structures have got to settle for the next year or two before we can really comfortably get into a rally on potentially weaker growth ahead.